Grace to you and peace from God our Father and our Lord and our Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The homily for today was already preached. Aaron Bird read 1 Corinthians chapter 2. What more can we say? This chapter talks about human wisdom and God's wisdom. In my reading of the Bible, I believe Proverbs 1 and verse 7 is the summary statement on what we call the Old Testament wisdom literature. It reads this way: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. Fools despise wisdom and instruction." Better yet, its sequel in 9:10 reads: "The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. Knowledge of the Holy One is insight." It is the knowledge of the Holy One that we are privileged to have through Paul's writings and throughout the New Testament. The wisdom literature includes at least 5 books of the Old Testament. In the New Testament, Paul writes 2 books on this wisdom. We call this 1 Corinthians and 2 Corinthians. 2 scholars and friends from our faculty have explored these 2 books independently of one another. One went on into the textual critical study of the first letter of Paul to the Corinthians. The other one went on to the 2 Corinthians with a view to letting Paul speak afresh and communicate Christ for our time. That's our privilege. That's our blessing to be in this world as teachers of the faith, even as it is coming to us through Paul's pen in these letters that we call 1st and 2nd Corinthians. You know the story. Paul, we have been reading 1st Corinthians for quite some time now in this church season, and we just got done with the first chapter, and today we have the whole second chapter before us. And through this chapter, Paul brings in what he posited at the end of the first chapter. There he says, God in Christ has revealed his wisdom for us. Christ, in fact, is the wisdom. And for us Lutherans, he is our righteousness, our reconciliation, and our redemption. So Paul says, preach as much as they want, people of this world, about the wisdom is of this world, but hear what God's wisdom is. God chose the mean and foolish and unruly things of this world to reveal his eternal wisdom that saves all humankind from sin, death, and the devil. You know, Paul was no little person, although 2 Corinthians 10:10 says his stature wasn't much and his speech amounted to nothing, as some people said. But he was imparting to the world divine wisdom, wisdom that makes people wise unto salvation. This is the mystery, Paul says, that had been hidden for ages, but now revealed to us, his people, in his Son, Jesus Christ. This is scandal in this world. This is unruly. This is so foolish in our world. Let me quickly jump to Colossians and see how Paul tells us how we live in this world as wise people for the sake of Jesus Christ, proclaiming Jesus before the world and also living the faith that he has given us to embrace. Colossians 3:3, we know, Paul writes, "We have died and our life is hidden in God." Colossians 1:27 says, "Christ lives in us, the hope of glory." Between those 2 verses, I see a lot of wisdom. Wisdom that makes our life in this world as God's children, God's witnesses, profitable, beneficial, and fruitful. On the one hand, we have died, and our life is hidden in God. On the other hand, God's wisdom resides in us. What more can we ask? It is said, and it has been written for quite some time, that Western Christianity has only two dimensions. One is heaven, the other one is the earth. Western Christianity speaks, they have not read the Fathers, but they say Western Christianity has only two dimensions to it. 35 years ago, Paul Hebert, an anthropologist come missionary, said, in this kind of thinking, we miss something. He called that the excluded middle. Between heaven and earth, a lot of things are happening. That's where life happens. We deal with the struggles of this world. We debate with the philosophers of this world. We claim Christ to be the one true wisdom from God. But people turn deaf ear to this fundamental truth. We debate, we declare, we boldly proclaim Christ, the wisdom of God. Paul goes on to those challenges in his first letter in a few pages, a few chapters afterward. And he actually asks us, how do we deal with life's problems intelligently, blessed by the Spirit of God? One, for example, he says, there is someone in your community that lives with his father's wife. Solution he suggests, get that man out of there. Let him be a heathen. Deliver him to Satan so that in the end he will be delivered. Divine wisdom versus human wisdom. Paul says, I hear that in your church there are partisan spirit. One calls himself, some people call themselves followers of Paul, others say Apollos followers, others say even Christ followers. In the name of faith, people are struggling and fighting and playing politics. But Christ, Paul says, I preach and we preach Christ and him crucified. On the one hand, Paul says, in the church, in the Christian church, there are litigations. And he asks, are there not even one single wise man among you who can settle this dispute? Why are you drawing the church, the body of Christ, to the court? Divine wisdom versus human wisdom. Paganism is bad. Neo-paganism is a white-collar religion, especially in these United States. Atheism has trained chaplains to work, and Harvard University has a program to train atheists in chaplaincy. What will they be telling to the people? Wisdom of this world. And we are given the blessing by the Holy Spirit, the privilege to know Jesus as the ultimate wisdom of God. It is that wisdom, though foolish to the minds of the ordinary people who are perishing, it is that wisdom that makes life worth living under Jesus Christ. I am an immigrant to the United States and I want to tell you this story. Paul Kalanithi is, he just died about 6 months ago. Allow me a minute here. He was raised in a family of surgeons, medical practitioners, etc. His father, himself a cardiologist, married up from a higher caste, and because of that, they could not live in Chennai. So the note says the father eloped with his mother, wife, came to Manhattan, bought a house in Bronx, and practiced cardiology in downtown New York. And about 10 years hence, this doctor said, no, this is not the place for my children to grow up. So they just moved away to someplace in Arizona, landed nowhere. I think it's called Kingtown, between two mountains, and raised his three sons there. His Paul's older son became a doctor, and Paul went to Stanford, Yale, and even Cambridge, and came back as an accomplished surgeon, brain surgeon, and started practicing. He married a doctor, and they had about 8-month-old child. And Paul had seen life and death. Paul had seen life and death. In his short span of life, he saved more than 100 people from lung cancer. Paul now is hit with lung cancer. No physician could heal. His memoirs came out as a New York Times bestseller just about 6 months ago. The title of the book is When Breath Becomes Air. When Breath Becomes Air. This is what life is. Paul knew in his surgical procedures, he always thought he should have been a pastor. Then he knew that at least he would have a pastor alongside him as he would be performing medical procedures, which he actually was blessed with. Looking at Paul's life, I think Jesus' words comes to mind. He saved himself, but he could not save others. He saved others, he could not save himself. But in Paul's own words, his last words were, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." That's divine wisdom. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. Christ is the wisdom. Christ is our wisdom. All we need in this life to live between Colossians 3:3 and Colossians 1:27. As Christ breathes his breath in us, our sorrows turn to joy, our sickness turn to health and wellness. Our death becomes life, all for Christ's sake. Christ, our sacrifice, our redemption, and our forgiveness. In Christ, mercy triumphs over justice, love prevails, and peace rules and reigns eternally. Our life is all about Christ, the wisdom of God, and the power of God.